Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, listeners. This is NWP Radio, a production of the National Writing Project. Today is January 24, 2013, and tonight we will be talking about Digital Learning Day. I'm your host, Tanya Baker, at the NWP in Berkeley, California. Digital Learning Day is a national campaign that celebrates teachers and shines a spotlight on successful instructional practice and effective use of technology in classrooms across the country. Digital Learning Day is gaining momentum with ongoing activities, ideas, and collaboration opportunities leading up to February 6, 2013. Tonight, we are excited to talk with NWP teacher consultants about how they will participate in the second annual Digital Learning Day. As always, if you are listening to us live, we invite you to join us in the chat room where we'll be posting links to materials related to tonight's program. We're pleased to have several guests to talk with us about their plans for Digital Learning Day. Tonight we're welcoming Bob Jobin, who's a program associate at the National Writing Project, Janet Ilko, a writing teacher at Cajon Valley Middle School and a teacher consultant at the San Diego Area Writing Project, Kim Dulyard, Director, San Diego Area Writing Project, Jeremy Heiler, teacher at Fulton Middle School and teacher consultant at the Chippewa River Writing Project, and Joe Dillon, who's an instructional coordinator in the Aurora Public Schools and a TC with the Denver Writing Project. Thank you all for joining us tonight.
Hey, good to be here.
Thank you.
Tonight, I'm happy to open our conversation by bringing in Bob Jobin, who's a program associate at the National Writing Project and the point person for National Writing Project's partnership work with the Digital Learning Day. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Tanya. It's good to be here tonight. Thanks for having us on.
I'm so glad you could come in tonight. Let's begin with an overview, Bob. I gave the two-sentence blurb, but what is Digital Learning Day?
Yeah, it was a great opening you gave, and Digital Learning Day is just really about building on a growing movement to leverage digital tools to support connected learning, and it represents a set of activities across the United States that occur all year long and culminate in a large national celebration on February 6th in Washington, D.C., and across the country. So last year, it was created and convened by the Alliance for Excellent Education, and it celebrates, as you said, innovative teaching practices that make learning more personalized and engaging and encourages the exploration of how digital learning can provide more students with more opportunities to get the skills they need to succeed in college, career, and life. Additionally, Digital Learning Day links together a wide range of states, organizations, and corporate partners to call attention to the powerful work going on in districts, classrooms, and out-of-school programs where educators and their students are making thoughtful use of digital tools and exploring digital literacies on a daily basis.
That's great. That's a great overview, Bob. Can you tell us a little bit about the size, the scope, and maybe the history of Digital Learning Day?
Sure. As we've mentioned here, this will be the second annual Digital Learning Day. So last year was the first. And really, the whole year, the Alliance has sort of made activities around digital learning, and it culminates on February 6th. All the efforts lead up to try something new in your classroom on that day. So we have over 19,000 educators that have registered to try something new in their classrooms, and you can register right now up until February 6th on digitallearningday.com. As a large-scale sort of national visibility event, there's 40 core partner organizations, such as the National Writing Project, and another 25 corporate partners that are participating this year, as well as coordinated activities in 47 states. So each state has as what might be called a state leader that's coordinating activities in that state. And that's anywhere from something happening in California where the California Writing Project is the state lead, and they have an upstanders, not bystanders, advocacy and visibility campaign going on February 6th through May, actually. And all across the country, different states are getting involved in different ways. Governors are pronouncing February 6th to be Digital Learning Day in several states. Districts are coming together to form activities within their district on certain days. So it's really just a time for all folks across the country to celebrate digital learning and to do what makes sense in their local community to have that celebration. That being said, the focal point of the national activities will be an educator showcase and town hall event that will take place at the Newseum in Washington, D.C. on February 6th. And that event can be followed live online, once again, at digitallearningday.com, including the Centerpiece Town Hall event at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
That sounds like a really big effort, Bob. Do you know 19,000
educators? The rich day of programming, yeah. Certainly.
Has it grown since last year? Do you know?
Yeah, it's sort of grown, and the number of core partners and the number of partners across the country has grown, and sort of, you know, gotten larger as the tentacles have gone out from the alliance to different organizations across the country.
Fantastic. Can you tell us a little bit more about the day itself in Washington, D.C., what the focus and the goals are for that?
Sure. In D.C., as I said, there will be an educator showcase and town hall event. And really the focus of that is on three things. The first is supporting teachers as more and more of these digital tools make their way into the classrooms, whether introduced by the teachers themselves or students through their own interests, and or through some sort of district or administrative initiative. The goal of Digital Learning Day is really to find new ways and better ways and to sort of disseminate ways to support teachers as we make the jump into the digital learning age. Another goal of the day is to focus on student-centered learning, and this is the type of learning that works best for the current generation of youth and is connected to the interests and knowledge that they're bringing into the classroom. So a lot of the educator showcases that day and a lot of the talk and conversation during the town hall will be focused on what student-centered learning can look like on Digital Learning Day. Additionally, it's really about leadership, and it's leadership from national organizations, from the core partner organizations, the leadership that is exhibited across the Writing Project network, and the type of leadership that's put so much of our network's work, knowledge, and expertise of all this digital learning into a national conversation about digital literacies inside and outside of the classroom. And a lot of this work is highlighted on our websites and on things like the Digital Is, you know, initiative, and a lot of that work can be found there.
I feel like that's like almost the first part of the answer to the next question I really wanted to ask you, because this is a huge national effort with lots of partners, corporate and school and governors and everything. How do you see, from your vantage point, how do you see this fitting with the work of Writing Project Sites?
Well, I think it's a good question. I think the focus of this celebration and the goals of this celebration are in line with what we know and we have found to be important as we've worked with the Digital Initiative over the last few years. And I think that what we're seeing at many of our sites is that work with digital literacy and working with digital technology in the classroom is becoming an ever-increasing and important part of what a Writing Project site does. And as Kim and Janet and Joe and Jeremy will share with all of us, hopefully later in the show, specifics about how this works at the site level.
You do a lot of work with policy and advocacy work on behalf of sites, Bob. How is Digital Learning Day related to advocacy work?
Well, obviously, it's in D.C., so we want to fit into the national and federal conversation as much as we can, and a lot of that conversation can happen there and then spread out to the rest of the country. But it's also important to have the local conversations that are going on and the extent to which those conversations can inform smart policy around digital technology. And I think that's a real chief concern of all those working, and certainly us, all of us working on Digital Learning Day this year. And with the greater awareness and visibility that we can give to what the Writing Project sites are doing in their local schools and in their local out-of-school time centers with digital literacies, and what how they're taking the tenets of connected learning and applying them to the work they're doing at their sites. And certainly, as this is an emerging field, our aim is, and this is the aim of the folks we're collaborating with on Digital Learning Day, is to continue to develop and to create a healthy national space to have an open conversation about the theory and practice across disciplines and across grade levels, inside and outside of school, in the the field of digital literacy and digital learning.
I have to say, I think there are a lot of hooks into Digital Learning Day, from people's individual use to their classroom practices to thinking about state and national policies. But this last statement that you've made really gets me excited about the possibilities of the day as a chance to participate in a national conversation. If you've gotten other people excited about Digital Learning Day, Bob, with this introduction, how can they get involved at this point?
Well, certainly it's not too late to plan an event at your site, and if that's a bridge too far at this point in time, you can also do a social media push on your site, Facebook, Twitter pages. You can join up with the Writing Project Twitter page, the Writing Project Facebook page. You can also blog about the experiences introducing digital learning to educators or into your classroom on NWP's DigitalIS and or NWP Connect. Both those spaces will be featuring a number of blogs and open discussions that day. Folks can register, once again, at digitallearningday.org. They're sending daily emails with tips of the day that feature content from all the core partners about what types of digital learning opportunities and digital learning tools that they're using, in their work. Once again, the town hall event will be streamed live from Washington, D.C. at 1 p.m. Eastern. All of this will be promoted, I wouldn't say heavily, but a little bit, over the next few weeks on NWP's Twitter feed and NWP's DigitalIS Twitter feed and the NWP Connect and DigitalIS web spaces. You can follow the hashtag #DLDay, which is the hashtag for Digital Learning Day, so you can follow that on Twitter just to see what other groups are sharing out that day. And if you do go to the digitallearningday.org site, there's tons of resources there, some resources that Janet will tell you about later on in the show, but there's also customized resources for all audiences, grades, subjects to help you think about how you can contribute to the campaign, and all teachers, principals, students, parents, librarians, out-of-school time practitioners are all invited to visit the website, register to receive the toolkits, invitations to events on the day, February 6th, and prior to the day. So it's really just a great lead-up, and it's certainly grown into a massive visibility campaign this year.
Bob, thank you so much for providing this really rich overview. I think now, if it's okay with you, I'd like to move over to talking to some Writing Project colleagues who've already made their plans for Digital Learning Day.
Sounds great. More than okay. Happy to be here. Thanks again, Jane.
Thank you, Bob. So, Kim and Janet, welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
It's so nice to talk to you both here in San Diego, California, just down the coast from me. Kim, you are the director of the San Diego Area Writing Project. Can you tell me what is SDOP doing for Digital Learning Day?
So for us, digital learning is not just a day. It's really what we do all the time. So at the San Diego Area Writing Project, we work all year long to create opportunities for the teachers who we work with to learn from each other and to really play around with digital media throughout the year. And our theory is that then they'll be more likely to figure out ways to make digital media work in their classrooms with their students. And then the actual Digital Learning Day on February 6th becomes a way to highlight the work that they're doing with digital media. So it's that celebration. It's not only the one day. And we also really like to think about transforming learning experiences with digital media rather than just sort of the glitzy, fancy end product. So we're always thinking about how can we use digital media to improve the learning experience for students rather than just impressing people with our technology. Just before you talk to Janet, I just wanted to talk about the other thing we like to do at our site is we'd like to offer opportunities for teachers that we're involved with to think about creating programs, creating spaces without all of the state mandates and district restrictions. So Janet and another teacher consultant at our project, Margaret, actually dreamed up this dream project that we call the Writing for Change Academy that I'm sure Janet will talk about, where it used digital media and writing into a summer academy for students. And once they launched that as a summer writing academy, then teachers can figure out how to take those same ideas and figure out how to make them work within the restrictions that they live with in their public school settings.
Kim, that's a beautiful picture of the way that your writing project thinks about and uses technology. And I just, the words that, just seems like a really joyous and happy and rich place. I mean, just thinking about teachers playing and celebrating and transforming learning and working in programs and spaces without restrictions, that's a very nice picture and something I think we should be happy to celebrate with a special day. So,
exactly.
Thanks so much for that description. I was going to ask you to tell me more about the Writing for Change Academy, but you've moved that over to Janet's plate, so I'm going to bring Janet in. I do understand
okay.
that both you and Janet are going to be on hand at the museum in Washington, D.C. for Digital Learning Day festivities. Janet, I'd really like to hear more about the work in your classroom and how that, and also Writing for Change, so you can decide how to talk about those two things, but how that work led to this invitation to participate in Digital Learning Day.
Well, I think it did start with Writing for Change Academy and the growth that happens from that. And Kim nailed it when we talk about how our project really facilitates learning and thinking outside the box. And I remember 3 years ago going with Margaret, who is absolutely one of the dreamers of this project and set the groundwork with me on how we wanted our classrooms to look. How did we want this to be for our kids? And looking at urban children in particular, and in my particular teaching environment, English language learners, and how can we bring a digital bent to it, not as a fix it, not as a, oh, you're going to work on a computer program, but how can you become, instead of a consumer, a creator of digital media? And when I started this, I couldn't do anything. I am not exaggerating. And I think, I'm pretty nervous going to the museum, if you want to know the truth. I'm so thrilled that Kim is going with me to share what I do, because I think the strength of our project is to say we're going to try it, as Kim says, play. And I've been allowed through my school district to create a program for writers for our kids based on our model. And our model was in the summer, how can we encourage kids to create online, to take that writing and not do a project that's digital, but yet look at digital media and decide what best expresses my message. How can I take what I'm saying? How can I change my world in some way, in a positive way? And what is the best media to do that? As opposed to a lot of the top-down, okay, today we're going to do a PowerPoint, or today we're going to learn iMovie. We taught our kids a variety of different things and said, okay, now what best expresses that? And so we spent 2 years working on that, a summer, and then we took a summer off. And then this last summer, we became involved with a group called the North Shore group who does blogs internationally. And our group, the Summer Academy group, started blogging with them, each student creating their own blog. And the power of that changed my instruction. It changed everything. And I spent quite a bit of time this summer researching blogs and how could I incorporate that into my classroom. My role is to teach students who are English, long-term English language learners, for the most part, students who have been in the country 4, 5, 6, 7 years, sometimes their entire career as middle schoolers, and they're still struggling with writing. And so if we gave them a message and if we gave them a space to work digitally and they own that space, will that change the quality and the content of their writing? That's my research I'm doing through the project. And all of this stems from Writing for Change. And I think the interesting thing is it's changed instruction not only for my students, but how I teach and how I view what I do in the classroom. And so my demo comes from that. We've created student blogs. And what's different is my students are choosing their own topic for research. And although we have our Common Core standards, of course, that we're teaching, students do have some choice and voice in what it is they're going to produce within that particular type of writing, for example, right now, research. And my students are picking things from homelessness to PS3 to dogs to border issues. I mean, things that are just a full gamut of what a 13 or 14-year-old might choose to do. And I'm super excited about it.
That's really funny because I was just thinking as I was listening to you, oh, my God, she's so excited about this, that your enthusiasm for your work and the work of your students is just palpable. So it's no wonder that they would want you to come celebrate a Digital Learning Day. But can you tell me a little bit about that process? I mean, how did you get chosen?
Well, it's funny. My girlfriend, who I work with here very closely, Holly French, is also a writing project teacher, and Ruth Moss is our tech director. And I said, we were lucky to participate last year on a very small scale. I learned about it. I thought, oh, we'll do something. And we invited people to come in and see some things we were doing with iPods. And so I said, Ruth, let's fill that out. And she said, okay. And all of a sudden, we get this phone call in November, and they say, we'd like to come see you. I'm like, okay, sure. We'd love that. And so I tell my students, as usual, I said, and as usual, we're going to just figure this out together. And I think that's the excitement of teaching. It's my 25th year in the classroom, and I'm probably more excited now than I've ever been because of being able to watch these kids learn. And we learn together. And I think I do learn that through the project of you play and you make mistakes and it's not perfect. And so getting selected, I think, is why we're interesting. One, because we're working with English language learners, and it's about the student writing and their voice. I'm really comfortable going because I'm not sharing myself. This isn't I'm the expert. It's this is what we're playing with right now. This is what my students are capable of doing. This is what happens when you allow them freedom and choice and the mistakes that go with that and the lessons we learn. And these creation of blogs have caused some of my most at-risk kids to come in at lunch and before school because they now realize, oh, my gosh, Ms. Ilko, you're on the radio today. I'm like, yeah, they're going to be looking at your stuff. Oh, okay. Well, can I come in at lunch? I'm like, yeah. And the principal comes in and goes, you know you have 20 kids in here right now? I'm like, yeah, I do. So in answering the question, does this make them more motivated writers? Yes, it does. Does it make it better writers? That's going to take us a year or two to discover. But I'm just super excited about how we got selected. They thought that was interesting, and they put me there, and that's what we're going to go share.
Oh, so exciting. So, you know, I can't come to D.C. Sadly, I won't be there. But I'm so excited about you presenting this really great, rich work that represents your classroom and your writing project and the National Writing Project. Is there a way we can see this demonstration or participate if we can't be in D.C.?
There is a way to participate, and if you go online, I'm not quite sure, to be honest, how the participation at my event will be. My students can't come with me either, and they're quite upset about that. And so what I'm doing is having my students here live in the computer lab at 7 a.m. while I'm presenting at 10, and we're going to have an Edmodo page. So what I can do for your listeners is you can log in at Pacific time 7 a.m. onto our Edmodo page, and you can read my student work and respond to what they're doing and become part of that conversation. Because as I'm teaching, I told the kids, I don't want to do this by myself, so you're coming with me in the sense that your work is going to be posted on Edmodo. You will be there live, talking to each other like we always do, and we're just going to incorporate a few hundred of our closest friends, we're hoping, to come online and give you some responses to what you consider your best work. So listeners can absolutely do that, and they can also track our work. It's called Writing in My Hand is my blog, and the link will be posted, I'm sure, through your things, and we can you can follow our work that way. I'm posting every couple of days kind of what we're doing. So it's exciting, and we can hardly wait to get there.
It is exciting. I wonder if you know what else, besides your demonstration, what else are you looking forward to in D.C. on that day?
I am super excited to see the other people who are participating. If you go on the Digital Learning Day site, you see all the lessons that are being presented. And to be part of the discussion panel and to hear what's going on across the nation, what districts are doing in Digital Learning Day on that broader picture. We also are doing a lot in the San Diego Writing Project of promoting through political avenues our work and the work of NWP. And so last night I was up very late emailing Duncan Hunter, Congressman Hunter, and saying, please come, and sending his office, and trying to facilitate that type of work as well to understand the positive things in education and the power of words, which I think is so important, especially in this time in our lives where there's a lot of issues in education that are not about words, but about actions. And I really want the focus to be that our students need to be empowered and that their voices matter. So being able to talk to some political people and national groups and hook up with people like Youth Voices and things like that is just really exciting to me.
Janet, this is so exciting. Thank you so much for all the work you're doing and for going to D.C. and participating and representing your students and the writing project, everything. It's just thrilling. So many of us here at NWP have been following your blog, and we will continue to follow between now and February 6th. And we really wish you luck with your presentation and with the great work in your school and in the Writing for Change Institute. And thank you, Kim, for all the work that San Diego Area Writing Project does to envision these kind of possibilities. We're going to jump now across the country to see what kind of digital learning is happening in Michigan. I hope you guys can stay around till the end. I don't know why I called you guys, but I hope you both can stay around till the end of the show in case we have some time for closing remarks. But now I'm happy to welcome Jeremy Heiler from the Chippewa River Writing Project. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi. Thanks for having me tonight. I appreciate it.
I'm so glad you could join us. What's happening around digital media and learning there at your site?
Well, Tanya, much like what Kim said earlier, you know, the Chippewa Writing Project, we're digitally involved every day. Our wiki site shows evidence of this. Anybody can go there. It's ChippewaRiverWP.wikispaces.com. It was a wiki space created by our director, Troy Hicks, and it's a site not only for our teacher consultants to use as a resource, but it's also available to participants in the professional development we host for intermediate school districts or professional development we may host right there on Central Michigan University's campus. Our wiki has been alive and well since the site was born. In addition, we have a lot of great teacher consultants that go digital every day in their classroom. There are a number of us that use Google Docs in our classroom for a number of different reasons. Andy Schoenborn uses Prezi with his high school students. Della King uses Gloxter with her second graders. Others such as Shannon Powell use various tools for flipping the classroom. Personally, I use tools such as Google Hangout, Camtasia, Selly, Twitter, Youth Voices, and Schoology. I use a number of different things. We all recognize today and understand that being a digital teacher is essential to teaching, essential to reaching our students and seeing measurable growth throughout the school year.
It sounds like Chippewa River is quite a place to be, Jeremy, if you're interested in being a digital teacher. This is a off-script question, but I'm going to ask you anyway. You can tell me, forget about it, but... is there something about, are there ways, sort of regularized or routinized ways at your site for digital teachers to sort of learn together and figure this stuff out together?
Well, yeah, you know, obviously through the Summer Institute, you know, if you participate in that, Troy has always done a really good job of getting us digitally involved. You know, we are actually going to be participating in a writing retreat coming up here at the beginning of February. Where we can get together and we can kind of talk about the different functions that our site is going to be, you know, doing as far as PD development or, you know, how can we promote our site better to get more teachers involved. You know, we've done webinars in the past with teachers across the state of Michigan where they can get digitally involved, and we've introduced digital tools to them. We just got done doing a professional development day. On Martin Luther King Day on Monday, teachers came in and learned about the Common Core areas, but also how to incorporate digital tools using the Common Core in their classrooms.
I have to say another theme that seems to be getting picked up across this show, besides how exciting this work is and how much of it there is in the Writing Project, is the way that Writing Projects seem able to and interested in putting together the Common Core and digital learning. So that's really exciting to hear those things in the same sentence. I know, you know, we just heard from Janet. I know that what's really exciting often is to just hear some examples of the kind of digital learning that students are having the opportunity to do when they have teachers such as yourself who are really paying attention to these things. So I wonder, Jeremy, if you could just tell us a little bit about some tools or some projects you've done with some tools that really make a difference for you and your students.
Yeah, you know, no problem. One of the things that my students are actually embarking on right now, both 7th and 8th graders, they're using Youth Voices, which was created by Paul Allison and Chris Sloan and some other individuals from different writing projects, and that's youthvoices.net. And that's a online space where students can go and they can develop their voice and they can collaborate with individuals all across the United States and kind of have that connected learning experience with others, other students, especially for my middle schoolers. You know, we're going to be using, my students are going to be using Google Hangout to reach another class in Lansing, because I'm a little bit farther north than Lansing, with another writing project consultant person. And my 7th graders are going to be doing it, are using Youth Voices to post This I Believe essays on there, so that way they can introduce themselves to each other, and also with the Google Hangout. And then my 8th graders are also going to be using Youth Voices to develop their voice through myths and talking about the different myths. And in a really unique way, they're going to be looking at myths from an informational text kind of standpoint, and how those can be informational texts as well as narrative texts.
Fascinating. Is the draw of Youth Voices for your students the ability to communicate and talk with students who aren't in their neighborhood?
Yeah, I think that's definitely the big push for me, and I think that's definitely a selling point for them as well, because, you know, I teach in a very rural school district, and we talk about collaboration, and especially with revision and editing, and a lot of times, you know, they're just revising and editing within their own classes, which my classes are only 20 to 25 students, where this way they have a much broader audience. And that's the other thing we talk about too, is that they have a much bigger audience now, and they have to think about the changes they may have to make to their writing based on the audience that they have.
That's great. Thanks. Tell us about some more stuff your students do.
Just something real quick. You know, I use Twitter in my classroom. One of the ways I use Twitter, just something real quick, because I'm sure there's lots of different ways that teachers can use Twitter in their classroom. I use it, the hashtag feature for Twitter. We have our own hashtag that my students have access to, where they create model text so they can always refer back to it for their writing. Now, for example, with my 7th graders, we worked on compound complex sentences, and my students had to create compound complex sentences using the hashtag. And that way they have this list of mentor texts, for lack of a better term, so the students can constantly refer to them, and they know, they can refer back to it and say, hey, now I know I remember what a compound complex sentence is, and so they can model that and use it in their own writing. Another tool that I use in my classroom is Selly, which has been becoming a pretty popular site, and that's where teachers can create cells for their individual classes, and students can collaborate and share ideas. And I use that for digital literature circles because I want my students to be able to communicate outside of school. My students are also using their cell phones because there is a Selly app that is available, at least for the Android phones. I know that. And they use that Selly app to be able to communicate with each other. And it's communication through text messaging without privacy being given away from the teacher or from the students as far as phone numbers go. So that's a really neat tool as well.
Fantastic. So, Jeremy, I was saying to you online when we discussed your participation in this show that even though we hadn't met, I started following your blog during back-to-school time, really, and that I felt like I did know you and a lot of the work that you were doing. I was really excited to meet you on the radio today and talk about your work. Can you tell people about your blog?
Yeah, my blog started a little over a year ago, and it started just because I wanted to be able to reach different teachers out there and just let them know what's going on in my classroom. I wanted to be as transparent as possible so that they could try to steal some ideas if they needed to. So I've been, you know, trying to write consistently in that blog. Lately, I haven't been able to because I'm working on a book, but, you know, you can follow my blog at jeremyheiler40.wordpress.com. And it's just about anything and everything from, you know, different conversations that we have at staff meetings, from the digital, how do you effectively choose a digital tool for your classroom, you know, what do you do with students that don't have access to internet at home, you know, how do we reach those kids digitally, you know, so there's just a lot of different topics. Or I try to discuss a lot of different topics through my blog.
So, Jeremy, that's great, but I have to say that a sentence like, I'm working on a book, is not a throwaway sentence. So before I let you go, can you tell us a little bit about that project?
Yeah, Troy Hicks and I are co-authoring a book with Eyes on Education. It's about meeting the needs of the Common Core in a language arts classroom while using technology to do so. You know, it's we're forming the book based on the Common Core. Different chapters are based on informational, argumentative, and narrative pieces. Also looking at electronic portfolios and a multi-genre project that I do with my students. And so that we're working on that right now, and we're hoping it's supposed to be done. We're supposed to have it submitted by the end of the summer. And we're hoping that by the time the next annual meeting is in November, that hopefully it'll be either being produced or it's already being out there for people to take a look at.
Well, that's something for us to look forward to. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being on the show. I have to say, despite the fact that since I moved to California, I try to stay out of the cold, you've made me want to come to Michigan right away and see some of this great work in action at Chippewa River. So thanks so much.
Now I'm going to
move over to Joe Dillon, who's coming to us from Denver, Colorado. Hi, Joe. Uh-oh. Let's see.
Oh, hi, Tanya.
Here you are, Joe. How are you?
Here I am. I'm good. How are you?
Great. Thanks for joining us tonight. I feel like
my
it's
pleasure.
Only fair to say to the audience that I've had the opportunity to work with you over the past year and a half through another initiative, the Literacy Design Collaborative, Literacy in the Common Core Initiative at the National Writing Project, and I hear a lot about your work as an instructional coordinator. It seems to me that role, as well as your work as a teacher consultant, gives you a pretty broad view of the way technology is, or sometimes isn't, being used and integrated into schools. So I wonder if you would mind if we just started by hearing about your work and what's a day in a life like for an instructional coordinator.
Okay. Well, in my school district, I coordinate the work of a small group of instructional coaches, so we plan how we can support teachers and schools in meeting their technology goals. I'm also lucky enough to still be able to work alongside teachers in the classroom myself in a coaching capacity. So that's one of my favorite things to do. And when I'm coaching and working in the classroom with teachers, a typical day can look like supporting a teacher in their planning for instruction and then observing the instruction and providing some feedback. Other times, I work a little more hands-on in the classroom. I might help the teacher out gathering formative monitoring or, you know, working directly with students to model some instructional practices that I might try. Usually, whether I'm working with coaches or I'm working directly with teachers, dialogue plays a big part. And when we're talking about technology, I really try to model how I think through working with digital tools in the classroom, and I think about, you know, the learning experiences we want students to have with digital tools.
That's great, Joe. I know that in your role as a technology coach and a connected learning ambassador, that you're thinking not only about technology today, but also what's on the horizon, what's next. So in celebration of Digital Learning Day, I was wondering if you could talk about that.
Sure. Yeah, you know, and one of the things I've been thinking about with Digital Learning Day coming up is, you know, all there really is to celebrate about digital tools and teacher learning in the classroom. In my work, I get to see how technology and the expanding possibilities for technology in the classroom, you know, they're really providing transformative opportunities for teachers and students. And I really think it's interesting how tech tools sometimes situate us all as learners in the classroom.
Yeah.
We're working in new ways with students and technology. And I also think in terms of talking to coaches and talking to teachers about their goals for their classroom, a lot of times just thinking through how you might apply technology is really a great entry point just to rethink the students' experiences in the classroom. So the one thing I know on Digital Learning Day is that a lot of the, you know, the bigger conversations that can happen around educational technology sort of on a national scale are big ideas like MOOCs or flipped instruction or one-to-one computing initiatives. And a lot of times those generate, you know, a lot of conversation and they're fascinating. And I sometimes think what gets pushed aside is the discoveries that teachers make when they're doing things that we almost take for granted in terms of just the initial steps of integrating technology in the classroom.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is another theme that seems to have come up across all of our guests today, and I'm really excited that you're going to sort of close us out talking about this, because I really think the conversation is deepening and becoming more rich around technology, and in the way that Kim said, it's not just about a glitzy product, but it's about really transforming the learning experiences, and now I really hear you saying that both for teachers and students, that this is an opportunity to rethink what are we doing and what do we really want and what kind of outcomes do we want for kids as learners. And it's really exciting. In your role, in your job as a writing project teacher consultant, I kind of like to explode this idea that you were just talking about. How do you see these new big ideas get taken up? What's it look like? These moments of discovery or learning for teachers?
Well, a lot of times it starts with a really simple goal. And so, you know, when a teacher feels like they want to get started with something and they're approaching a technology coach or asking a knowledgeable colleague, it can sound really simple, and things that we might take for granted, like somebody who's working with English language learners wants to use sound files in their instruction. And the questions can sound small, but a lot of times the work that gets done in the, you know, in the subsequent week or 2 weeks ends up being kind of transformative, and you really see excited students, you see teachers thinking through new possibilities for their classrooms, and bigger changes kind of emerge out of those small ideas. I have one teacher in particular that I work with, and she always pops to mind in these types of conversations because, you know, sometimes we can almost see blogging as old hat. But when she talks about blogging in her middle school classroom, you know, you would think she discovered it herself, the way she gets so excited about how it's transformed her students' experiences. She feels like they write for a variety of audiences. And even when they're writing a blog that's been to some degree teacher-directed, they're still aware of the potential larger audience. And she blogs passionately herself now and shares, you know, regularly with her kids, and she will hold court with other teachers and talk about how she'll never go back, and it's really exciting for me to think about the discoveries that happen week by week in her classroom and kind of the expanding landscape for her students.
It's really nice.
You know, and then in the work that you and I are connected with in terms of the literacy design collaborative work, I have a chance to work with, you know, a pretty small cohort of folks, and I often talk to Jack Zangerly from the Hudson Valley Writing Project.
He's fantastic, huh?
Yeah, he's one of my favorite people to sit around and talk about technology with, and what always strikes me when I'm talking to Jack is the spirit of inquiry in his work.
Mm.
And, you know, he's just fascinated about one of the things he's written recently about on NWP's digital is how the research paper is evolving in his classroom. And, you know, so on a day like Digital Learning Day, you might read how research is evolving because of technology, but I'm really fascinated when a teacher says the research paper is evolving in my room, and they can offer examples of it. And I think we have a link to what Jack's written recently that might pop up in the chat, but, you know, to talk to Jack about his classroom and other passionate teachers like Jack, you know, is to really hear how they are finding out every day how students work with technology online. And, you know, they're embarking on it on, you know, new discoveries side by side with students. Some of the things Jack talks about are just using Google Docs in order to really make the writing process collaborative in his room. And then when his students have, you know, completed a piece, they share out to the school community on Edmodo, which is an education-friendly social network. And then they collaboratively gather resources for their research using DIGO. And so everything's openly networked in his class. And, you know, Jack is really excited daily about what he observes students doing with technology. And I kind of share the same excitement when I hear teachers, whether they're taking their first steps or reflecting on 2 or 3 years of experience with digital tools.
That's really nice. And I'm just picturing Jack and the excitement of the work he's doing and his excitement around the work and the sort of fluidity of sort of partners to help you work and places where you can work and all the ways that work just sort of becomes both more seamless and more exciting in these kinds of environments. I know, Joe, that you are part of another initiative that I'm not actually part of, but that's part of the National Writing Project work that's exploring connected learning principles. I wonder if you can tell us a little bit about this idea of connected learning.
Yeah, well, so for people who are unfamiliar with the principles, I know we have a link to a resource on NWP's Digital Is. But essentially, the connected learning principles are principles that articulate the type of learning that we'd like to see happening in public schools, or actually the types of learning that we'd like to see for students with digital tools across spaces. So, yes, in schools, but also at home and in what we call third spaces, which might be in clubs or in community organizations. And so the MacArthur Foundation's DML initiative has synthesized quite a bit of research around teens and digital tool use, and they formulated these principles. So just to hone in on a couple that I think are really important is one of the principles that they think should drive, you know, student learning across spaces is interest-powered. The learning should be interest-powered, whether they're working at home or in a club or at school. And that's really a value that I share when I'm in classrooms in my school district. I just agree that I think in everyday student work should be interest-powered. Another principle that they've advanced as being important or an indicator of connected learning is openly networked. So when we talked about the teacher who's excited about blogging, you know, the students have gone from working in, you know, this teacher, when she talks about it, she talks about the students having gone from turning in papers and that being a very closed system, and now blogging to a more openly networked system. And Jack's classroom is another great example of openly networked learning where, you know, resources are moving across the internet and from kid to kid and from classroom to classroom and then also out to the community on a social network. And so interest-powered and openly networked are just two of those connected learning principles that really resonate with me. And it also really helps me when I'm working with a teacher who's trying to be forward-thinking about digital tools. I always want to, you know, step away from the tools and think about what kind of learning opportunities we want for students. So those principles have really been informative and helpful for me. So those are some of the ways I see connected learning in my work.
That's really helpful and a nice introduction and frame for thinking about those principles. And as you said, they're posted on the NWP website, and there's a link to them posted, or they will be this week. And they are there's a link to them in the chat room, so people who are interested in the connected learning principles can read more about them. Joe, before I let you off the hook, you know, you're an instructional coordinator and a coach. Do you have any advice for teachers for Digital Learning Day?
Well, sure. And I think, you know, it resonates with me when your other guests say that every day is a Digital Learning Day. And so, especially on Digital Learning Day, I would encourage teachers to share all that they're learning and everything they're doing in an effort to improve student learning using digital tools, to share those things online in public ways, to really push yourself to try to be openly networked with the important work that's happening in the classroom, in your classroom. So, you know, for some folks, maybe it's an old blog that you haven't used forever, and you might blog about a success you've had recently in your classroom, or write about a student who's taken off now that they have an opportunity to work in a digital space. The other thing I would encourage teachers to do is get a sense for what other teachers are doing by reading online. A lot of teachers are writing informally about their practices and pushing publish on that blog online. And when we start to kind of be immersed in that kind of online conversation, I really think that it can always be informative. You might learn something pretty specific, but it's also just encouraging to know you're part of this broader conversation about improving instruction and celebrating the successes of students. So I also think NWP Digital is always a great resource and a great place I like to start. And by looking at a site like Digital Is, you might make a connection, might find inspiration. And by working online, you also might discover a new tech-powered routine that feels supportive and energizing.
That's fantastic, Joe, and it makes me want to bring everybody back in and see what other kind of advice we might offer teachers on Digital Learning Day as a way to close out this show. So I would remind everybody that at the top of the show, Bob told us that 19,000 teachers have signed up on Digital Learning Day, pledging to try something new on that day. So I'd love to hear from everyone who talked about their own work today. Give some advice, like what might you suggest people try? Anybody want to jump in?
So this is Kim. I would just really encourage people to try something. It doesn't have to be a big special something. You don't have to have a whole network of computers in your classroom or a whole set of iPads or iPods. You know, you can just get your students doing one small thing that gets you excited, and you don't have to already be an expert at it, which is the other piece of advice I would always give someone. A lot of times you can ask your students. They have some really great ideas if you just give them a chance.
And Jen, piggybacking on Kim, I think last year what we did that the kids loved more than anything was setting up a Twitter space. And actually we had people from SDOP following our work that day, and being able to see these Twitter responses as, you know, as a class sending out a tweet on my Twitter account and having the responses come back was just really powerful all day long. And they invite other people to come in. We had a good time having people come in from Congressman Hunter's office and just families and friends and teachers to come in and see what the kids were doing. It just gives them this audience and a great, easy way to start.
Thanks, Kim and Janet. Jeremy, any advice for the 19,000 teachers thinking about trying something new?
You know, the biggest piece of advice I'd have for them is to, you know, be a learner beside their students. You know, they don't necessarily have to be the expert in the technology or the digital tool that they want to explore. You know, learn beside their kids. I think that's one of the most valuable pieces of advice I can give because I've done that myself with my own students with using different digital tools. I mean, they've shown me things that I never knew were possible with things like Blogster or a digital tool like ToonDo, which creates comic strips. You know, they were showing me different tools within the tools that you could use. And you know, you can still learn from your students as well. And so that would be my biggest piece of advice, just be willing to learn beside the student because I think that's valuable.
Thanks so much, Jeremy. Bob, I'm wondering if you have any advice either for teachers or for site directors about how they might take advantage of this digital learning day moment?
I think the general advice is to follow the NWP Twitter account in the week leading up to Digital Learning Day to see what the whole network's doing and how they're celebrating Digital Learning Day in their local communities. So I'll say that's the best thing you can do before February 6th.
Bob, I think that's brilliant advice, mostly because that's what I plan to do, so that's a good idea. any last words? I don't want anybody to not have an opportunity to say the thing they want to say about digital learning or Digital Learning Day.
I think we have to say have fun with it, because I think that that's the key to learning is curiosity, fun, playfulness. That's when learning happens, and that's true for us as adults and for our students.
Fantastic. Thank you, Kim. Anybody else? Well, I would really like
to.
Oh, go ahead.
I'd also encourage people to also, continue it. Don't just make this one day. Continue it, and once they get comfortable with a new tool, keep going and explore something different. So keep wanting to be a learner of the digital age, and don't just make it a one-day event. Keep it going all year long.
I think that's great advice. Kim, were you going to jump in?
I was going to say, have fun. I mean, going with Kim, have fun, but really do listen to your students and try something simple. It does not have to be hard. We started very simply last year, and we've doubled the number of teachers participating on our campus this year just because we've made it easy. And we want everybody out there to join in to do something, because it just can be fun.
That is fantastic advice. I was just jumping in after Jeremy's advice because I felt it like – for some reason, it reminded me of the fact that when my colleague, who many of you know, Elise Ibenadal, introduced me to Twitter, every time she said Twitter or tweet, I would laugh. And now I think about how integrated it is into my practice and my everyday life. I sort of can't imagine living without Twitter. So trying something new and keeping it going seems like really, and having a great time and maybe even laughing a little, seems like great advice. I'd really like to thank you all so much for tonight's show and for this excitement around digital learning and connected learning and really expanding and transforming learning opportunities for students the way you are informing that conversation for our network and beyond. I hope you have a great Digital Learning Day. I hope you have a great lead up to Digital Learning Day, and Janet will be looking for you online on February 6th.
All right. We're excited.
Awesome. Thank you, everyone. Have a great evening.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Thank you.